right. Anybody need a paper? Any paper, hold your hand up. Your paper should say Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. That'll be a double paper, one on the front and the back. If you need one, hold your hand up. All right, so there's a few. A few got their hands up there. So. All right. And Ephesians chapter 2. I hope we're not boring you with the scripture. And we're taking things slow, verse by verse, word by word. And over on the far side, too, then. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 1 shows us the greatness, of course, of Christ, all that He done, accepting us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even to forgive us of sins. And shows us how great He is, that we might have our eyes enlightened, our understanding enlightened, that we might see what this blessed hope is, a hope in Christ, a resurrected Savior. And then chapter 2 starts out, and you. And you, to me, is a great way to look at things. It's just a continuation when we look at it. And it shows how lost we was, how saved we are. That's what chapter 2 is going to show us, all right? All right, everybody all right? Let's pray together then. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, You sure are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And our needs are great, Lord. We've called out the names and the needs. And there's more than we can even remember without looking at the paper. And Lord, You know every situation. And You know the circumstance. And we might pray one way and You need to do another. So Lord, I'm just going to trust You to do it right and take care of our people tonight. Lord, You want us to call them out. Lord, You want us to trust You with it. And Lord, You're bigger than these problems. You're bigger than our cares. You're bigger than the cancer and the heart attacks and the strokes and the diabetes and the surgeries. You're bigger than all of that. And You're bigger than our sin. You're bigger than that. You took care of that at Calvary. Now, Lord, I praise You and thank You for it all. Now, Lord, we need You this evening as You open up the Scriptures to our mind and our heart, that we might praise You, that we might serve You, that we might adore You, worship You because of Your greatness, that we might realize how lost we was, but Lord, how saved we are because of Christ. Help us tonight, I pray. Cleanse me, I pray. I know I'm no good. I know I'm worthless in my own works and my own merit. But I'm not worthless according to You, because You give the best You had to save me. And Lord, I may be unworthy now, but Lord, You made me a child of the King. Thank You so much for that. Please touch me fresh. Give me power. Give me wisdom, I pray. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look here, Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to read down through verse 4. I doubt that we get that far, but we're going to read down just through verse 4 and save a little time there. We can read the whole chapter again, but we will eventually. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Let's go ahead and read verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. But go ahead and read verse 5, because that goes with verse 2. And you hath he quickened. And you, that's us. That's all of us. Now, it is written to the church at Ephesus. We know that. But it's also written to all the believers, to all those that are in Christ, the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. And it says, and you. When we start here, we got to remember, now, all of us, it says, and you hath he quickened. All of us, to start with, are saved the same way. Let's start there tonight. There's nobody saved any other way than by Christ, through Christ, and be put in Christ. And it's all by grace. There is no one ever been saved by works. It's always been by grace through faith. Always. From the beginning, it's been by faith. God's grace supplying what we don't deserve and our faith believing what he done. That's the simplicity of salvation. And as many as received him, speaking of Christ, to them, whoever would receive Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Now, all of our works, all of our good doings, it may be good, it may be wonderful to do, but it does not merit salvation. Now, we're not going to tell anybody not to do good. Everybody ought to do good. Everybody ought to do the best good, most good they can for anybody and everybody. But if that's what you're depending to take you to heaven, that won't work, because we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it starts out here, and you, all right, and you hath he quickened. All right, now, the reason he made us alive, that's quickened, that's what it means, is he made us alive. Because we were dead in trespasses and sin. All right, we were dead. Now, we was not so dead that we was totally depraved, that we could not believe on the Lord. But we were dead in the sense that we could not save ourselves. Do they understand that? There's a vast difference. We were not, mankind was depraved, yes, but not totally depraved. The way that some people teach that they had to be predestined and chosen and saved, even whether they had a will to or not, that's foolishness. Okay? So what it is we all needed quickened. Everybody needs to be made alive, because we were all dead in trespasses and sin. All right? So we're going to have to look here and see verses 2 and 3 especially is going to show us how lost we were. All right? How lost we were. Now, if you're not saved, this is how lost you are. Now, if you are saved, this is how lost you were. Now, I got there on your paper. We're going to look. We're dead. We're deceived. We're disobedient. We're defiled. We're doomed. All right? That's what we were. But no longer. Now we have a different nature. Our old nature was a sinner. Our old nature was lost without Christ. Our old nature was without hope. Our old nature was an alien, an enemy, having no way to get to God. That was our old nature. But because of Christ, and because his wonderful work on Calvary, and him dying in our place, and being buried, and rising again the third day, ascending to the Father, making intercessions for me and you now, when we receive Christ, then we are made alive, or quickened, and we have a new nature. For we have now the righteousness of Christ. For we are in Christ. And no longer am I going to suffer the penalty of sin. For Christ suffered the penalty of my sin. And not only am I saved from the penalty of sin and that I have eternal life, but I am saved from the power of sin because Christ lives in me.
Amen.
And there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, not willing that you be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. And though I'm tempted, I have a way to combat all that because I got Christ in me. And that's what happened when He quickened me in His salvation. And I will later be saved from the very presence of sin when He takes me to glory, to sinless atmosphere where I'm with Christ and am like Him, for I shall see Him as He is and shall be like Him. So when we say quicken, He saved me from the penalty, saved me from the power, and I'm soon to be saved from the presence of sin. All because I'm in Christ. Everybody understand? All because of Christ. Think about that. Now, a lot of people want to deal with the law, and they want to say, well, you got to keep the law, you got to do this. Well, can I tell you why we have the law? We've got it wrote down there for you. The law was given. All right, now listen carefully. The law was given so we could see ourselves a criminal. All right? Yes. We don't have a disease. Right. No, it's sin. Understand? Before you were saved, you didn't have a disease. Right. You were a criminal. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Understand? You was a criminal. You needed to be under the jail. Right. Right. I needed to be under the jail. Right. We were a criminal. We weren't a criminal just to society, although we were a criminal to society. Because none of us would have been left alone with innocent people. We were so depraved that we couldn't be trusted for nothing. All so evil. All of us. So evil. All right? But now, listen to me. We weren't just a criminal to society, but we were a criminal against God. For the law was given that we might see where we broke everything against God and who He is and what He stands for and His holiness and His purity and His righteousness. So when we say that we were lost or unsaved or a sinner, then we need to understand that it was not a sickness like the flu that we got over, but it took the eternal work of an almighty God to redeem us because we were perishing. And we'll never praise the Lord like we should until we realize what we were saved from and how lost we was. And how saved we are. That God would look on Christ and forgive me does not make sense, but it's wonderful truth. Think about that. Just how, let me ask you this. What goes through your mind now that you're saved? What goes through our mind after we're saved is awful. Can you imagine not having Christ? See, a lot of us have been saved so long, we don't remember. We don't remember everything that used to go through our mind. Don't remember all the deeds. But can I tell you, it's worse than anything that goes through our mind now. And God quickened us. Is that not wonderful? And you, and you, and you, and you, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, we were dead, but not just dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Alright? And not just sin. Alright? It says sinned. It wasn't just guilty of one. We were guilty. We become guilty of all. Do we understand that? We become guilty of all of them. Think about that. People say, well, you know, you didn't do what I did. Yeah, I did. I done everything you did. I thought everything you thought. I was everywhere you was. You wasn't no worse than me. I wasn't no worse. You was all. We was all equally dead, wicked, deserving hell. Huh? Yeah. Think about that. All the people that we look down on and say, well, I would have never done that. You did do it. Yeah. Come on. I never went there. You was. You was there. I'll even go back and as far and say that we were there when they crucified our Lord. Huh? We sold Him, and we denied Him, and we betrayed Him, and we spit on Him. Huh? We mocked Him, and we gambled for His clothes, and we drove the nails in His hand, and we drove the nails in His feet, and we pierced His side, and we put the crown of thorns on His head. We were as guilty as everybody else. That's how lost we were. Huh? Think about that. There ain't nobody any worse. There ain't nobody any better. Huh? Nobody. Nobody. We had fallen aside. We had missed the mark. Huh? Death was then natural. Huh? And death by sin, the Bible says, wherefore, in Romans 5, 12, wherefore, but one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes. Think about that. Natural, become natural. Right? Death was natural. But God, in His amazing grace, went to the trash pile, the sewer plant, and chose us to make Himself a bride, pure and white, We were dead to the spiritual things, not just dead to fleshly things, but we were dead to the spiritual things of God. Look over in your Bibles, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I believe Hannah might be praying here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. But there's a great truth here that describes us. Huh? Look here in verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." So look at verse 8. "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them." Can I tell you, that's how lost we was and how saved we are right there. Huh? Think about it. When we say He has quickened us, that's what all that means when we say He's quickened us. We still okay with that? Think about that. Now, let's look at some scripture we very well know. Look at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Is everybody still with me? Romans chapter 3. We know the verse 23. Well, I mean, we always know that. Let's look here. Let's read just a moment. Let's start here at verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." See, there's no difference in those who believe. Alright? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Ain't that most wonderful? Huh? How about Isaiah chapter 59? Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." We was in such a shape, that we couldn't even talk to God. He didn't pay us no mind. That's why we had to have the Son. God don't... Do y'all understand that God has never and will never forgive us for our sake?
That's right. Yeah, we got no hope.
He only forgives us for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Think about that. That might be one of the greatest, most wonderful truths.
Yes.
Huh? Look at Ephesians. Back in Ephesians. Let's go back just for a moment. Huh? verse 32 of chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. All because of Christ. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah. Now, all we're trying to do is show you how lost you was, how saved you are. All right, we're doing. We're trying to get by them first two words. And you, happy what? Happy quickened. Well, why would he have to quicken? Because how lost we were. Look back at Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 6. This is us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I mean, that's the way we went our own way. Everybody does their own thing, went their own way. But look what the Lord done. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. Huh?
Oh, yes.
Ain't that great?
Yeah.
Huh? Are you tickled about that?
Yeah.
Huh? Think about that. Right? How about say in Isaiah, flip over to see chapter 64. About 64. Let's look here at verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, all our righteousness, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. That's us. That's us tonight. That's how lost we was. Like the Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we've already shown you now that we're guilty of all sin. We've all went our own way. I mean, if you don't believe you're guilty of all, let's turn over to James. I believe we can find that in James. If I find it right quick here. The book of James will give you the reference if you need to write it down. Where you're guilty of everything. Somewhere here. How about chapter 2, verse 10? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's what he said. Keep it all but one, you're guilty of all. Well, can I tell you, when I go look at all of just the 10, I'm guilty of more than one just automatically. But I'm guilty of all of them anyway. But I can already see where I've messed up on. I don't even want to look at all the other, how many hundred are 647 or 460, whatever it is. It's a pile of them. Well, I'm lost on highways. That's why I needed Christ. Huh? Everybody still okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now let's look at that hath he quickened. Now he's the one that changes. Hath he quickened. Now, that hath is a very important word. And you hath. That's past tense. Alright? It's a done deal when you receive Christ.
Amen.
Hath is, and you hath, he quickened. He's already, if you're saved tonight, he's already made you alive. Alright? And we'll see that hath on down through there. Verse 6 will show us he hath raised us up together. Alright? As far as God's concerned, we're there. As far as God is, everybody look at me. As far as God is concerned, if you've received Christ, as far as God's concerned, you're already there sitting with him.
Yes. Amen.
That's how sure It is.
Yes.
But here it says, and you hath, past tense, hath he quickened. He's the one that done the changing. He's the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the cleaning. He's the one that does it all.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. We don't have to help him.
Right. That's
right. We don't have to help him. All right? He don't need no help. In fact, you can't help him. So there's nothing you can do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I'm hoping y'all have done read all these verses. When I give you that paper last week. Let's look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die. Well, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead. We all died. In Adam, we all die. Now, can I tell you that the reason that these bodies die now is because we was in Adam. That's why these bodies die now. Alright? But I have eternal life inside of me. Okay? Now, if Christ comes tonight, I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to be given a body that won't die. Okay? And I'm going to be able to look back and say, oh, death, where's that sting? Oh, grave, where's that victory? Huh? Now, for those that's done going on, when they are resurrected, they're going to turn around and say, hey, grave, where's thy victory? Yeah. But in the rapture, us that's raptured are going to say, oh, death, where's thy sting? We're going to miss out on it.
Right, yeah.
Everybody understand that? That's why it's written like that, for us to rejoice.
Yeah.
You see how much we got to rejoice about? Huh? See, if we're not careful, we'll let the situations and the circumstances rob our joy. Huh? We'll let these old frail bodies and the aches and the pains and the trouble and the trials rob our joy. But can I tell you, this is all temporary.
Right.
Man, what we got's eternal.
Yeah.
Hey. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Now let's look here. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, as in Adam all die. Even so, look at the wording. We're at? In Christ. So all we made alive. See, all this has got to do with us being in Christ.
Right.
Him in me, and me in Him. For I am hid with Christ in God.
Yeah.
That's what it says in Colossians. For I am hid with Christ in God. I'm in Him, He's in me.
Yeah.
Huh? I told y'all about the feller, the old preacher. He didn't have no education, couldn't hardly read. And he was trying to teach his people about just how saved they were. He said, y'all don't understand. He said, God gets you and He saves you. And He puts you in a little tiny barrel. Little bitsy barrel. And He puts a lid on it and He takes that little barrel and He puts you in a bigger barrel. And puts a lid on it and that's you in Christ. And then He takes that middle-sized barrel and puts it in a big hog's head barrel, and that's hid with Christ in God. He said, that's how saved you are.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, the devil can't open them barrels.
Yeah.
And that's how saved we are tonight. Huh? That's how saved we are. Hey, back to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. Everybody still with me? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, you're saved. Huh? John chapter 3 shows us how all that takes place. Huh? John chapter 3 shows us what has to be done because we can't do it ourselves. So he shows us. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered, speaking to Nicodemus, he said, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I can't born myself the first time, and I can't born myself the second time. It has to be the work of God. He borns me again. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. That's that making alive. That's that work in me. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses in. He borned me, made me alive.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Is that okay? How about John 15? John 15, people say, well, now this verse don't say nothing about being made alive. Well, let's look and see what it says. It says I'm made clean. How about John chapter 15, verse 3? Now ye are clean. Well, how am I clean? I'm clean through the word which I have spoken. But wait a minute now, wait a minute now. Are you sure? Are you sure that that's what that means? Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Y'all there? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's just what the Bible says. I ought to stick with what the Bible says. Right? How about back to Ephesians chapter 5? We okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Now it says here that he, speaking of Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it. And that's us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for us. We get saved, we become part of the church, part of the body. That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by what?
The
by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It's the work of God. It's the work of God. How about Titus? Titus chapter 3. Everybody still okay? Everybody with me tonight? See what we got to be thankful for? See what we got to rejoice about? See what we got to praise His name for?
Yeah.
How saved am I, man? I know how lost I was. Now look how saved I am.
Yeah.
Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ain't that most wonderful? Huh? How about 1 John? 1 John chapter 1. We're talking about being clean now. But if we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. 1 little John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from some of the sin. No, all of it. Cleanses us from all sin. You can't beat what He does to us. Huh? Now, I don't know how to encourage you much more with that. We're just on the first verse in chapter 2. Huh? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I just wonder, can anybody say amen to any of that right there? All right. Sherilyn, you go to piano. I'm going to try something tonight. I ain't told you nothing about it. Now, I'm going to sing you a song tonight. It just shows just like what He done for you. All right? He takes a beggar and makes him a king. You know this. From rags unto riches, from silver to gold, from thistles to diamonds, a value untold. From the slum to a palace, forever to stay. Shelters calls them his own. He healeth the blind, and he makes the dumb speak. He takes a beggar and makes him a king. He changes our dwellings for a mansion so bright. He changes our clothing for a garment of light. From dust to the throne, we with Jesus now reign. He takes a beggar and makes him a king. Y'all heard it, ain't you? He lifts up the poor from the dust to a throne. He shelters the orphan and calls them his own. He healeth the blind, and he makes the dumb speak. He takes the beggar and makes them king. Now that's about as best he can explain it. That's what he does. Now, he takes us right off the dunghill, just like Hannah prayed. Takes us right off the dead pile, the trash pile, the sewer. He takes us out of the sewer. Oh, Jeremy up there works down there in our illustrious sewer plant here in town. And ever so often, he's got to put on some stuff, some special clothes, and get right down in amongst all that and work on that machine. While he's down there in all that, he finds Mark and Boyd and Bill and Kelly. Gene and Tristan, that's what he finds. Down there shoveling and scraping, and he finds Steve and Pat and Clark and Dennis and Dave. That's what he finds. But you know what? Because them special clothes he got on, all that cleaning done, you know, they're putting that right back in where everybody's enjoying life, right back down there in the river.
Yeah.
And everybody's got joy unspeakable, huh? Because of that cleaning station right down there at the foot of the hill. I'm trying to tell you, that ain't nothing compared to what wonderful Jesus done. The God of glory that left heaven and come down to clean sinners like me and you. That's the same way, the exact same way he put on a special garment, that God put on a special garment of flesh and died on Calvary. To clean me and you. Yeah. He takes the beggar and makes him a king. Father, I sure do thank you for Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you has he quickened. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.